Hey, hit me!
Are you ready for the deadliest news, issues, comments, and people? Well, on now is National Talk Black with Trendy Trev, going live from BBM through the National Indigenous Radio Service. Give us a call now, 1-800-422-416. Black with Trendy Trev.
Yes, a very good morning, you daily mob. Welcome back to your daily program, National Talk Black. It is I, Trevor Tim, Trendy Trev, Murray from Nakari, live from First Nation Radio Station here in Cairns on your Dingy Country. That's BBM, Bumabrip Media, 98.7 FM. And we go across the nation thanks to NIRS, National Radio Service. Give us a call, have your say, 1-800-422-416. All right, now we're going to talk to Kelly Dixon, a Territory Natural Resource Management ecologist, and talk about the work that she's doing and working with our mob. On the line, Kelly, good morning. How are you?
Good morning, Trevor. I'm great. How are you?
I'm well. Thank you very much for coming to the program. So you're based in Darwin, is that right?
Yes, that's right. Based in Darwin and work all across the Northern Territory.
Fantastic. So we're talking Territory Natural Resource Management ecologists. Working with our mob, especially our elders and traditional owners, I mean, you then become a student, do you not?
Oh, 100%. It's incredible being out on country with traditional owners and people that are looking after country and just hearing the stories about all the animals and landscape. And yeah, it's amazing.
So in regards to the work that you're doing, we're talking protecting species. Are we talking about the environment that the species live in? Please enlighten us. Thank you, Kelly.
Yeah, that's exactly right. So I manage a team of people who work on threatened species. And so what we're doing is working with First Nations people to help support with management to protect threatened species and threatened ecosystems across the whole of the territory. And in particular, the story that we're going to talk to you about today is in the Stone Country. Yep.
And regarding the little species, a bird, a wren, that's how you say it's flourishing in that area, and we're talking about indigenous burning of country, which has becomes a powerful tool, does it not?
Yeah. So just a quick background. So this species is called the white-throated grass wren.
Yes.
It is the only grass wren that's found in the Arnhem Land Sandstone Plateau, which is otherwise known as the Stone Country, and it's classified as vulnerable to extinction because of historically there's been too many fires across that landscape, and they need long unburnt habitat to live in. And so what we've been doing with this project that's funded by the Australian government is working with a range of different Indigenous ranger groups across the Stone Country to look for the bird and to help support fire management. So, this bird that you're talking about flourishing, we've been working with the Wadakin Rangers on their Indigenous protected area. And we've been out on country and we've found some of these birds. And it's incredible because it shows that they are doing fantastic fire management.
Good. So it shows that the fire management is a powerful tool in regarding Mother Nature and all the species that live on the environment.
Definitely. Yes, definitely. And so this particular animal might need 4, 5, 6 years since a fire. And so the Wadakin Rangers have been out there doing this beautiful patchwork burning across the Stone Country over, the last sort of 10 years. And that's really improved what used to be quite bad fire management when people weren't on country as much.
So you, as an ecologist, you could then advocate for burning on country that First Nation people do across this big island, yes?
Oh, definitely. Yeah, for sure. As an ecologist, I think it's super important that First Nations people are out there doing cultural burning across the landscape. We know that it does improve the habitat for a range of different species.
Yes, that's right. A very powerful tool at that. So how long have you been working in this area?
I've been an ecologist for just over a decade, and I've been working through the Northern Territory with Territory Natural Resource Management for the past 4 years.
Fantastic. So you could say our traditional owners are ecologists in their own rights.
Oh, definitely. They know it. A lot more than me in a lot of regards.
And what about...
I've got a PhD, but they know a lot more than me in anything to do with their country.
And Kelly, let me ask the question then, in regard to ecologists, do you know of any First Nation ecologists out there?
To be honest, we don't work with that many that are, I guess, classically called an ecologist.
Yeah.
But all the Indigenous rangers that we work with that are on their country managing their land, they are pretty much.
They are.
They might not have that title, but they're doing they're doing the hard work.
Well, they are the professors in their field on country, aren't they?
Yeah, definitely. And it's just really important as well that, you know, we're working together as scientists. Yes. And First Nations land managers, you know, we're incorporating a whole range of different knowledge, and that two-way knowledge is super important to help conserve threatened species.
Well, we're all in this together. That's the phrase I'm thinking of. But, Kelly, I thank you very much for the yarn. All the best to you. Big shout-out to the mob there, Northern Territory. Keep doing what you're doing, and we'll be in touch, sister.
Thanks so much, Trevor.
Take care, Kelly. Bye-bye.
See you. Bye-bye.
Adelie Yarn there. So Kelly Dixon, her name is Territory Natural Resource Management Ecologist, and working closely with the First Nation people, Indigenous mob up there, Indigenous rangers up there in Northern Territory on Arnhem Land, and they're working to conserve an endangered white-throated grass wren in Arnhem Land. So beautiful work they're doing, and as Kelly said, a professional and ecologist she is. She's a student learning from our elders and traditional owners. Fantastic to see. Have you say Yarn Up Strong, added the conversation here, National Talk Black, 1-800-422-416.
Yeah. friend of mine on murder. The judge's gavel fell. Jury found him guilty. Gave him 16 years in hell. Said, I ain't spending my life here. I ain't living alone. Ain't breaking the rocks on a chain.
G'day, you mob. This is Tanya Kernaghan with Trendy Trev, and you're tuned in to National Talk Black.
Call us now, 1800 422 416.
Still trying to find me, out of office message, mahalo from Hawaii. Leadership's not really something that I'm feeling, kid. You maybe should have voted for the other guy behind me. What's the matter, little Aussie Bradley? You tired? No, everything I own is on fire. Well, your Aussie spirit's lifting and you're still kicking on. Everything's burning.
Better turn the house and cricket on.
We deserve someone who's a little bit better than it. Ain't no one but this nice and settled. You ain't fit to push the whip, you're back. I'm smooth, I'm real nice like, and it's not
like I miss this nightlife. So good. Yes, alright. If you can't start a house party, start a house fight. Get it?
Come, little baby, shelter from the storm. We're going viral and the fire is warm. We're good little citizens sitting in the bunker, just watching the boss fumble like my befuddled uncle does. We're rocking the lock-in, self-interred. Watching videos of Jacinda Ardern. Shit, even the Kiwis aren't allowed.
Start a house party, start a house fight. Briggs 4 p.m. Chuck Peter Dutton if you see him. Deport this, off how you feeling. Pandemic's got him reeling, people need to see you leaving. Yeah. Footy's on, do it after the weekend. If worst comes to worst, the people come first.
Yeah, but I'm gonna need a purse for the Megatron.
You ain't fit, we don't get near a penny worth. You ain't fit, the leadership is getting plenty worth. Went to hit the store and everything had been bored. They quarantined us all, so we're sitting. If they're getting on board, I'm pulling this ripcord and ditching this Concord and splitting like John Ford. I'm real nice like, and it's not like I miss this nightlife.
We're all good.
Yes, alright. If we can't start a house party, start a house fire.
But you're cool.
Yeah, you're alright. But I'm kinda sick and tired of being inside.
We're all good.
Yeah, we're all smart. If we can't start a house party, start a house fire.
Come, little baby, shelter. Storm. We're coughing up lungs and the kettle's on. We already burned the world outside.
If you can't start a house party, start a house fire. If you can't start a house party, start a house fire.
Scotty from marketing, standing there shuffling his papers. Wondering what Jesus hasn't come to save us. Looking to beat a dart and light, walk off what's happening.
At least the Ruby Princess had.
My feet on the Carter here. You're with Trevor on National Talk Black. Don't move that dial.
Come on, drive it. Drive it like you stole it, son. Drive it.
Yes, a very good morning, you Daily Mob. Welcome back to your daily program, National Talk Black. It is I, Trevor Tim, Trendy Trev Murray from the Curry, live from First Nation Radio Station here in Cairns on Yidinji Country. That's BBM, Bumper Brit Media, 98.7 FM. And we go across the nation thanks to NERS, National News Radio Service. You can have your say by calling us on that daily number, 1-800-422-416. Now, the industry peak body, we're talking about the National Employment Service Association, calls out Indigenous exclusion in latest unemployment rates. We're going to catch up a yarn now with NISA Senior Policy Advisor, Alicia Wiedemann, on the line. Alicia, good morning. How are you?
Good morning, Trevor. I'm doing really well down here on Yagara and Turrbal Country. Great to be online with you.
Yeah, great. Thank you. Big shout out to the mob down that way. Thank you very much for coming to the program. Talking about the findings, what happens now with the findings in regarding exclusion in latest unemployment rates for Indigenous people?
Yeah, Trevor. We think it's a really important conversation to have, and certainly, you know, for mob to be aware of, and people more broadly around how do we know how people are going in terms of employment rates in Australia. So the figures that were released last week by the government are part of their monthly labour force survey. So they do that. They do that every month, Trevor, and they use it to inform, I assume, a whole heap of things. One of the things that I guess we are conscious of in that, though, is it takes a really broad sweep of unemployment, and we think that that can hide hide different groups, you know, across the country, but absolutely First Nations people. So we are making a point of, I guess, just calling that out and making sure that it's aware that while unemployment, you know, across the country, you know, if you were to look at that, looks and feels pretty good. Everyone's got a job, 3.9%. But we know that's not the case.
That's not the true facts, true numbers.
How
can government make decisions on solving problems if they don't have all the information?
Have that information, that's right. You know, we, I know, you know, it's an area that you're interested in, your listeners. Certainly we have, you know, revised closing the gap targets that put, you know, certainly at the heart, education and employment rates for First Nations people. So we need to know, you know, how are we going? How close is that so that government programs can absolutely respond, but also First Nations people can ask the questions of government, ask the questions of policymakers, but also work in their own communities to do the work that we know they want to do, you know, to see mob get ahead. So I would say one of the things that it is called out actually in the reformed
they're not closing the gap.
One thing that in that redefined closing the gap priorities is this priority reform around shared access to data. So the Coalition of Peaks have really brought that to the table, saying, if I can just share that with you, listeners, because I think it is important when you have First Nations people at the table redesigning those targets, what they've said is priority area reform is we need shared access to data and information at regional level to help us make decisions about our people, to help us make decisions. So we're just really keen to give voice to that wherever we can, to echo that sentiment from that. Because, yeah, as you say, how do we know what we need to do if we, you know, if we don't know where we're going?
So well, you mentioned really, important thing there regarding closing the gap. How do you think this helps with closing the gap within employment for First Nation people if they haven't got all the information? And what would be the cause of that in regard to, like, a staff not dotting I's, crossing T's, or is it point-blank racist in regard to, well, don't worry about the Indigenous percentage? I don't know. How do you figure? Isn't there people in there doing the job? How do you explain it?
I think, to be honest, Trevor, what explains it in the monthly labour force stats is that it's designed to give a snapshot. So they do, the way that they do it, the way I understand it, is that they do phone surveys really into about 26,000 households around the country. So that's run by the ABS. Now, I'm sure that inside their systems and processes, one of the things they do is try to get a broad spread of that. I'm sure they're working really hard to do that, but we don't ask the question in that survey, are you an Aboriginal or Torres Strait Islander person?
Maybe we should use
that opportunity to ask that question. And I think the other thing I would say is that's the methodology that they're using, which absolutely, you know, I'm sure that that's fine for them. But, you know, if you think about it, if you get a call from someone saying, hi, you know, if I was, you know, living up your way and get a phone call from someone saying, hi, I'm from the government, I've got a whole heap of questions to ask you about your job, I think First Nations people could understand why there'd be a bit of a reluctance to have that conversation. You know, there's that bit of distrust. So I think we really do this priority reform area under the Closing the Gap target around sharing data and access needs to also work with communities to build trust that giving that information helps. Because, I think without that, we've only got half the picture. We know in about a week or two's time, the ABS will release their census data, so from the last census that was taken in 2001, and that'll give us another snapshot, but the data's pretty dated by then, Trevor. It's 5 years old. You know, it does try to get to every household in the country, and so we should have better information
The fact that we found this fault, Alicia, look, it highlights and then the focus magnifies the situation, and then let's fix it. You know, how do we know if we've got a problem? Now we know we've got a problem. Exactly. Well, we can fix it, work towards a solution.
100%, and I think we can definitely do that by doing things like through your program, like really raising that awareness.
Exactly.
Hopefully, you know, building a bit of trust around sharing that information, but also, as I said, you know, we've got Coalition Peaks really pushing in this reform to get better data, get better access. I think if we continue to demand it, hopefully over time what we see, is more information around that so our communities can be making decisions.
Exactly.
About what works for them, and so governments can be designing policies and programs that help.
Well, we made an executive decision here, Alicia. You and I will not close the government just yet. We'll focus back on this, find the right information, get the right numbers, and then we can close gaps.
Absolutely. I think it's work. You know, well, it is. It's work that needs to be done, and it's voices to keep asking for that work. So, happy to be one of those voices.
Cool, beautiful. Well, thank you for sharing. Please do keep in touch, and we'll be keeping an eye on this. Alicia, all the best to you, your team, your family. Stay safe, and we'll yarn soon.
Excellent. Thanks so much. Same to you, Trevor. Take care.
Bye bye. That is Alicia Wiedemann. Her name is Alicia Wiedemann. She's a NESA, a Senior Policy Advisor, and NESA is National Employment Service Association, and found that First Nation people and other disadvantaged Australians are being left out of record low unemployment figures. Well, how do you fix the problem if you don't have all the information? So that's an overlook in regard to that situation, and they need to dot I's, cross T's in more ways than one. Let's close the gap. She mentioned closing the office, but that was closing the government, but there was a slip of the tongue. We're not closing the government, but we need to close this gap, and we need to have all the information for that to happen. Have your say and yarn up strong here on your daily program, National Talk Black, 1 hour program, live at the First Nation Radio Station here in Cairns, BBM Bumbabrip Media, 98.7 FM. And we go across the nation thanks to NERS, National News Radio Service. Big shout out to the NERS team. Thank you very much. Housed at the Beamer office, Brisbane Indigenous Media Association. And big shout out to Jai and all of the mob down that way. Too deadly. Have your say, you mob.
this could be paradise. Standing on solid rock, standing on sacred ground, living on borrowed time. The winds of change, going cold that night.
Wait. be counted.
Sebastian here, hanging up on our National Talk Black, your big yarning show, BBM 98.7. I remember the day.
It's me, Bushtaka Bungie, and you're listening to the National Talk Black program. Makaran.
National Talk Black, 1-800-422-416.
Yes, a very good morning, you Daily Mob. Welcome back to your daily program, National Talk Black. It is I, Trevor Tim, Trendy Trev Murray from the Curry, live from First Nation Radio Station here in Cairns on Yidinji Country, BBM Bumbabrip Media, 98.7 FM, and we go across the nation thanks to NERS, National News Radio Service. All right, too, Daily, we're going to catch up a yarn now with Dan and Samin, and they are part of the research team in regarding sleep program, and they're coaches, and they're training up sleep coaches to become just that. On the line, Dan, Samin, good morning. How are you?
Good morning.
Good morning.
How are you guys? Thank you for coming to the program. Where are you guys based at the moment?
We're at Brisbane.
I would say cold Brisbane. Cold Brisbane. I'm warm Cairns, North Queensland. didn't mean to torment you. Sorry.
It's freezing.
Freezing. Look, thank you for coming to the program, having a yarn. So we're talking about the sleep program for First Nations youth. If you can give us a bit of background first, Dr. Samin, and regarding this program and how sleep, well, it's a good medicine, is it not, and regarding the human body to function. We need to get our rest. First I ever heard of such a program, sleep program, and for First Nations youth. So you feel as though that our youth aren't getting the right sleep, enough sleep, to help them to operate, so to speak. Is that right, Dr. Samir?
Yes, you're exactly spot on. And I will give you a little background. So we know that good sleep is vital for brain development and social-emotional well-being in young adults. Mm. We also know that to achieve optimum levels of physical and mental health, young adults need to sleep at least for 9 to 10 hours every night.
But there's a lot of adults who don't even do that, my sister.
Yes, no one does. And no one can make them do it.
Exactly. So how do you make the youth do it as such? Well, that's why you get sleep coaches and you're training them up. So how does it all work? Do you tell the child, listen, you better go sleep right now and I'm watching you? How does it work?
No, it's not that easy.
Mm.
So looking at this huge gap, what Dr. Vivakut Fatma consulted First Nations elders, service providers, youth advisory group and youth workers to co-design and co-deliver a culturally suitable sleep health promotion program for young adults in Mount Isa.
In Mount Isa,
Mount Isa. Along the way, we also realized the importance of youth workers and how they are most suitable ones to yarn about sleep health with youth.
Mm.
Therefore, this nation-leading program is focused on youth workers' empowerment to become first-ever sleep coaches and then help the community engage young adults and spread the message of sleep health program.
Mm. So when you're talking to youth, we're talking about have a focus for your future, have a dream, stop fighting or stop doing crime. You wouldn't talk about sleeping, but it's a powerful tool, is it not?
Yes. So this Let's Yarn About Sleep provides holistic, inclusive, and responsive solution to sleep issues.
Yes.
And as well as focusing on alcohol and drug abuse issues, mental health first aid trainings, narrative therapy, domestic violence, all these factors,
yes.
Technology overuse, all these factors are impacting the sleep health in our young adults. So this program provides a holistic approach.
Yes.
And the interview. Now, Dan will say something.
Dan, you're a nurse, aren't you, Dan?
Yes, I am. And you asked a very important question, is how do we actually do it?
Yes.
So that's why we're co-designing. We don't know everything. Sometimes the world more from our indigenous youth workers.
Mm.
They're the ones sharing us how to reach out to adolescents.
Yes.
They know how to do it. And all we are bringing in is this is the science behind why we should explain it to the adolescents. And yeah, I'm beginning to understand that it's really so much about yarning.
Mm.
When you think about the First Nations culture, it's about sleep and dream time. It just ties up with spirituality. It ties up with culture. It ties up with art and music.
Mm.
And I'm just overwhelmed and I'm staggered that, hey, guess what? Sleep is so important for you because much of your culture has been founded on sleep and dream time.
Yeah.
And then we bring in, guess what? If you don't sleep enough, some things can happen to your mental health and your physical body as well. But guess what? It's bigger than all of us because much of culture and spirituality of First Nations really depend on sleep and dream time.
Well, exactly. And, of course, I pick up accents with you, Dr. Samin, and with you as well, Dan. You're not First Nation people. You're not from Australia, is that right?
Yes, that's true. I'm originally from Pakistan and living here for the last 8 years in Australia.
And Dan?
Yeah, I'm from the Philippines. We came here like 4 years ago. We're loving it here, and I'm just looking at being immersed with so much of your culture.
Yes.
Oh, I'm so impressed and I'm so blessed, actually.
Well, we are talking about the first people, so you would have a bit of passion and respect to be in this space, but you are First Nation people anyway, so you are virtually ahead of non-Indigenous doctors of the world, being black. So you're more open in your heart and your mind and spiritually to connect with First Nation youth, First Nation people, yes?
Let me share to you a short story that happened to us. We were doing this actigraphy training, and then suddenly yarning happened. We were there and listening on how these great stories on how sleep and dream time influences and so integrated to life and what you do. And we're going, all we have to do is integrate that to science and probably we're doing something important.
Exactly. Exactly. And so you got I believe you're coaching. I believe we've got names here, Karen and Jamie. So you're coaching them to become sleep coaches. Is that right?
Yes. Mr. Jamie and Miss Karen are first ever sleep coaches. They are qualified and they have received their trainings, advanced trainings from University of Western Australia, foundation level trainings from both of us, actigraphy trainings, narrative therapy trainings, mental health first aid, and a lot of others that I have missed on.
Yes.
And they are they have displayed genuine motivation, commitment to improve sleep health. They have great hearts, passion, expertise. Yes.
So you could say, Dr. Simeen, that sleep coaches is becoming like a new profession, so to speak.
Yes, and I would encourage everyone, I would encourage more youth workers to consider taking sleep coaches or sleep consultancy as their career, because it provides education, it provides an opportunity to give back to your community.
Yes.
It provides you a platform to address issues, sleep issues young adults are facing. It is a very emerging and significantly important field to consider as a future.
Yes. Well, I know a lot of youth workers work with companies and organizations regarding looking after kids in care. This would be like a profession they could be studying under as well, because they do a lot of work with psychologists as they do the youth work. This is another profession they could be learning at the table.
Yes, this is very this will empower them, this will strengthen their skills, this will lead to their capacity building, and because they are the ones who know how to yarn, how to engage the teenagers. We don't know. Even our families don't know how to engage our teenagers.
Yes, exactly.
But the youth workers
exactly.
have experience of many years, and they know how to engage, how to start the game with, how to start the discussion with a game and with some breakfast, you know. So we have all those engagement techniques designed in our sessions.
Can we talk about the benefits, and as you guys, a research team, have you seen the benefits in regarding sleep coaches acting and doing their role in regards to the clients, the First Nation youth in this example? Have you seen it?
What they're coming back to us is that it's just building the momentum now.
Okay.
So a lot of people or a lot of youth are actually excited. Okay, so we have this, we handed out for them an actigraphy watch, and we had this post like a Power Ranger. Okay, so what it did is it created a lot of buzz now in the community, and we're telling them to just calm down a little bit, we're getting in place. We'll have to understand that it's trying to integrate two very grand ideas or field, so to speak. So we come in with, okay, this is the science of it,
okay.
And then we co-design with Jamie and Karen, okay, how do we fit this in to culture and to spirituality and to dream time? How do how does these two things come together? And then an even bigger concern is how do we share this or yarn this adolescents so that they don't fall asleep while we're actually yarning with them. You understand? So, and
powerful.
We learn more from them.
Yes,
and that's
beautiful.
Not going to work. This is what's going to work. Okay, so we're just taking down notes and writing furiously, because what we want to come out is a program that is really just synergizing both Western and First Nation sleep, and that's what we intend to present later on.
It's powerful. It's a new platform, so to speak, but a very important medicine. I've got to move on. Dr. Simeen, thank you so very much for sharing. Nurse Dan, Beautiful work. Please do keep in touch. And we want to stay focused with this fantastic research.
Thank you so much, Trev, for having us. Thank you for talking to us.
Yeah, I was still starstruck, but yeah, thank you for having us in your program. And our hope is that it started in Mount Isa, but we want to see this other communities come.
Beautiful. Thank you both so very much, and all the best. Please do keep in touch.
Bye. Thank you.
Keep in touch. Thank you.
Take care. Bye.